Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend Kevin. Why? Okay, I have to explain why I'm laughing. I'm looking directly at Kevin as I'm doing this intro. Kev is watching baseball on the TV as I'm talking.
Oh, yeah, and totally ignoring you.
And completely ignoring me. And Kev made this really, like, oh, shocked face, but it was kind of like a goofy.
Oh, they're not sending him.
Shocked face. Okay, we're watching Tampa versus Atlanta.
Sorry.
But his reaction just got me. And I just, yeah. And then he looked straight at me and was like, what are you doing? So, Kevin, how you doing?
Doing better than Tampa Bay right now. Apparently, they gave up the tying run just there. It was a ground ball in between the legs, which is a classic. And then it looks like they gave up the double there. They have men on second and third, one out. We don't need another tie. There was a tie in the Baltimore Red Sox game today and the Phillies game. Almost won in the Phillies game
you
yesterday.
You wanted the Phillies to tie.
I did want that one.
That was brutal. I didn't want to do a podcast with him after he said that.
Yeah, no ties. But I am doing good. You?
Awesome. I'm fine. Yeah, a little tired, but I'm glad that we're talking about the sport that we love. And, you know, we got some updates specifically for your team, because your team made a pretty big decision over the last, what was it, a week ago?
Within the last few weeks. For those of you who don't know, for the last 40 some odd years, the Yankees have had a policy of being, you know, beardless. So no beards. You could have a mustache, but like nothing else outside of that. So when you got to see players like Johnny Damon, who, you know, grew out long hair and a long beard, go to the Yankees, he's just completely clean shaven. It just threw everyone off. They changed that.
It's just the beard. Sorry.
It is beards.
Yeah.
So it's not just hair.
Yeah.
So they can have what's called well-groomed beards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that means. But I mean, it's at least facial hair for a start.
Yeah. Who's the beard police? Like, who's saying, no, you got to trim that a little bit more. Like, who's saying that in the clubhouse?
Well, it was George, but he's not around anymore.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I'm saying, who now? Like, are you going to have George Costanza from Seinfeld just come in here? Like, nah, Judge, you got to trim that a little bit more, you know, or Devin, it's getting a little bit too much, you know?
Well, like, Don Mattingly was once fined for refusing to trim his mullet.
Gosh.
So it's been a pretty strict policy over the years, but they seem to be loosening that now.
Yeah. And Devin Williams even said, he was interviewed, you know, would this impact your free agency if you're, you know, move coming up? And he said, yeah, it does. Like, the fact that, like, players want to be themselves and feel comfortable. And if they can't feel comfortable pitching for a team, you know, it's obviously, we've talked about it, the Yankees have kind of lost their luster and like their prestige a little bit over the years. And so it's not just like, yeah, I get to play for the Yankees. Like, that's royalty. Like, it's a little bit different now. Everyone's kind of, you know, the Dodgers are paying money. The Mets are paying money. It's not just the Yankees that are spending all the big money. So it is interesting. You know, I put out a poll on who would have the best beard for the Yankees. And we got Cole. I think we got someone came out and said Matt Carpenter would obviously, if he came back, he would have the best one. And I said he probably would be if he was actually still playing for the Yankees. But someone responded with future Yankee Nolan Arenado. And I was like, I don't want to see that, nor do I want to see him in a Astros uniform, which apparently they rekindled talks. Yeah. But.
Well, did you ever hear the story about Lou Piniella talking to Steinbrenner about the beard policy?
I don't remember.
So he was like, it was when Lou Piniella was a Yankee player in the 70s, and Piniella goes up to George and he's like, you know, Jesus had a beard and long hair. Why can't we? And Steinbrenner's like, do you see that pond over there? If you can walk across that pond, you can grow a beard.
Oh, jeez.
Talk about two personalities.
Oh, yeah. That's a... dang. Lou Piniella. Good Lord. And then that's a great quote. That's a great quote. But it's changed now.
Yes.
So we're back to... not back. I mean, it's a new era for the Yankees.
It is.
And I think it's a good thing.
I do too.
Like, it definitely was past its prime. Like, the fact that it'd be interesting to see how, like, the clean cut look still for, like, hair. And you can't have the longer hair still. Like you know, because Garrett Cole used to have that little, like, locks, like, not super long, but short, but somewhat long. He can't do that. So, like, it's still going to be clean cut up top, pretty much. But beard just got to be clean and not raggly. You know, we're not having Charlie Blackman beards on the Yankees, but probably more like, you know, our beards.
Yeah.
Necessarily. Like, you know, a little bit more scruff, but tamed, and then, you know, a beard, but it's full, but it's not completely misshaped with it. I think that most people were like, all right, finally. Like, even non-Yankee fans were like, all right, this should have been done probably 5-10 years ago. Probably. But also, your team's had some pretty bad injury news.
Where do I start? I guess I'll start with the most serious one, and that's Heel, who has a right lat strain and won't be throwing for at least 6 weeks.
Yep.
That's a big blow to the rotation, because he was the rookie of the year last year. And it throws into question what they're going to do with that rotation, like who the new starter will be, which I guess with the Stroman.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's the next man up, even though they were going to try and, like, shove him into a long relief role, which he didn't want to begin with. So maybe this just solves that problem, at least temporarily. But yeah, it sucks, especially for a young upcoming star. I think Heel can be.
Yeah, he's got nasty stuff.
Yeah. I think he, like, had, like, the lowest, almost, he was, like, somewhere high in the rankings for, like, the lowest batting average against in the American League last year. He's got good stuff.
Yeah. I think every time I watched the Yankees, it felt like he was pitching. Like, I don't know if I ever saw Rodon pitch other than opening day or something like that last year when Houston and all the sweat of the jerseys. Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. The jersey names are back. I know we're side thing from the Yankee injuries. The nameplates are back.
Yes.
The original last year, the Fanatics did a terrible job with the jerseys. Like, it was see-through, sweat. I don't know if the materials changed, but at least they look better because the font and the arch of the actual name on the jerseys is back to what it was, which is good. It's a good thing for MLB because the other one sucked.
Yeah.
No, it was a change that didn't need to happen. No. Like, well, why fix something that doesn't need to be fixed? Yeah, so it's back to the way it was. I don't know what the material is like. I think it's still, I don't know.
I think it's similar still, because when I was watching the Phillies game yesterday, you could still see through the pants a little bit.
Yeah, that's pathetic. Fanatics pathetic. Yeah. Sorry, side. I remember that, and I was I got to get that off.
No, I'm sorry, and I'll just make a quick note, and then we can move on. Stroman with the... would make sense too, because he's a righty and he'll be replacing a righty in the rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a majority righty rotation anyway. Freed and Rodon are the two lefties.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then there's good old Stanton, who they really need to put in bubble wrap every time he plays baseball now, because not only did he manage to get tennis elbow in one elbow, he has it in both.
He's like, why not both?
And he'll be starting the season on the IL, which now leaves a big question mark for the DH spot.
Dominguez?
No, they're going to keep them in the outfield.
Okay.
Judge might have to do some DH, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So, like, probably... I heard the Yankees actually talked, quote-unquote, who knows how far they got, with J.D. Martinez, perhaps.
Oh, really?
As a fill-in. I don't think they got anywhere, but it's just, like, Yankees had contact with him.
You mean future pickleballer J.D. Martinez?
Yes. I'm guessing, they're probably gonna put, I don't know, like Trent Grisham out there, like in the outfield when Judge is DHing, and then Bellinger and, Dominguez will still stay out there.
Bellinger's pretty valuable with, you know, you can have him in pretty much any outfield spot, and then you can have him at first base.
He can play at first base.
So it's pretty valuable for that signing or trade. It was a trade. That happened.
Yeah, the utility guys might get a good deal of playing time this year, I'm going to imagine. Like Oswaldo Cabrera, speaking of which, to transition into the third injury.
Yeah, I was about to say, get that other one out.
Yeah, DJ LeMahieu tweaked his calf in the spring training game, and he's getting tests. So yeah. We don't know exactly what he heard and how long he's going to be out, if he'll be out at all. But who's the other one?
Peraza
were kind of like competing. But I think Cabrera's got that edge. So it'll probably be like a Goldschmidt, Chisholm, Volpe, and Oswaldo infield, maybe.
Yeah.
But also Cabrera.
You sound so excited.
It's fine. You got an older guy in Goldschmidt there. Chisholm shows he could, I prefer him at second base anyway. That's where he should be.
Yeah.
Volpe, and then Cabrera are the two young guys, so it's kind of a mixed bag, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about Cabrera, too, is that he can also play the outfield.
Yeah.
So
true.
They do have options. It just, I hate to see these injuries so early. What's going on with that medical staff over there? We talked about this yesterday. It's like last year and the year before, they had so many injuries. What are they doing?
But it is two of the same guys, too. Stanton's always injured, and DJ was hurt last year too. Keel, that's rookie of the year. Like that one's surprising. But are the other two really surprising?
No.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, yeah, you could look at the medical staff, but like they're both 34, right? 34, 35 years old with DJ and Stanton. So, you know, we're battling injuries and we're only 31 and 32. So, and they're doing a lot more than we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else with the Yankee injuries?
Fortunately, that's it for now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean there will be another injury. That's just bound to happen. But yeah, that was the big. There was some big Yankee news with the beard, and you know, bigger. I mean, the Mets had some injuries. I think the city of New York has just had some bad injuries. Montas and Manaea both got injured as well. So city of New York is not good on pitch. Is not. Looking good on pitching right now. So before I get into my fun fact, I talked about this yesterday, and I needed you to remind me, but I remembered. Phillies star Bryce Harper has been pretty relevant on TikTok recently because he's been making coffee, food, all that type of stuff. He's becoming an influencer. And I haven't seen every one. I think I've seen a couple just for a little bit. And it's been fine. You know, he's not really like super entertaining, but people are watching because they want to know what Bryce Harper does. So people do. But it came across my Twitter. I don't have TikTok. It came across my Twitter or Instagram. And Bryce was making a dessert. And if you know me, I like to bake. I think I baked like four times last week. I love to bake. I love baking I don't bake for myself. I bake for other people. I love just making desserts with the sweets. It's just my mom taught me and I love it. So I know a little bit about baking. So I watched the beginning of Bryce Harper apparently making some dessert. I can't remember the dessert because I just blocked this out of my mind other than this one part because I stopped watching after this part. So he starts going off the recipe and he says, oh, we need like a cup of this and it's a liquid. And if you know anything about baking, the different types of measuring cups for measuring ingredients. So there's a liquid measuring cup and a dry measuring cup. Well, Bryce pours some liquid. I think it was probably milk. And he's like, oh, we need a cup of this. And he pours it into a dry measuring cup, and I just completely on my phone. I'm like, no, Bryce, what are you doing? That's not the right measuring cup. Whatever you're making is going to be off. It's not going to be what is intended for it. And I've baked with some people that are like, oh, you can just do that. You know, you just put like, it doesn't matter. Baking is a science. Baking is precise. Cooking, you can be a little more abstract with it. But baking is a science because whatever goes on in that oven, it has to be the same chemistry each time for it to work out. So when I saw him pour it in, use the wrong measuring cup, I was floored and I lost a little bit of respect for Bryce because he's doing a lot of effort into this and he's like, oh, just pour it. And I'm like, no, that's not right. Bryce, you're earning $330 million. You have an influence. Be a better influencer, Bryce. And I know we've had some guests that are Bryce haters. I'm not a Bryce hater. I love Bryce. But that one caught me, and I'm like, you can't be doing that, man. I got to find it and watch it again. It was hard, but I don't have TikTok, so I don't like can't just like search like it. But yeah, I know you're just like, all right, man, just forget about it. He was using the wrong measuring cup for baking. Who cares?
Well, it's like all the things that got you ticked off about Bryce Harper, it was the measuring cup he was using for his baking TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. Not baking TikTok, influencing TikTok.
Baking TikTok.
No.
Bacon.
No.
Bacon.
Bacon?
Baking.
I love bacon. Have I told you that I've decided that, I've been getting in better shape, but I have decided that I'm going to eat a piece of bacon every day.
One piece?
Just one piece. And I've been good at it. I've been having one piece every day because it's kind of like my treat, like because I love bacon. Bacon's one of my favorite foods, if not my favorite. But I'm picky about it. But I'm like, you know, if I'm eating healthy, you know, obviously it's fat, but I'm like, you need fat. Obviously it's probably not good fat, but I've actually thought about going to like a butcher and getting like some quality bacon so that way I can cook and with it instead of just like the like Walmart or wherever I go.
So when you're having this piece of bacon, is it just, are you having it in a sandwich or are you kind of just like chewing on it throughout your day, like a piece of beef jerky, so, sort of like that?
No, my plan, I've normally had it during dinner, but it's not like in something. It's like, I'm literally just having it as like a snack, like a piece of bacon for a snack. And if you know me, I prefer my bacon a little more chewy. I do not like it crispy, but the perfect piece of bacon, if you hold it up, it shouldn't be standing straight up and it shouldn't bend over and be floppy. It should be, you stand it up and it slowly bends. Like that's the way the perfect piece of bacon is. I'm picky about it. But so I've been enjoying some bacon over the last couple of weeks and it's been great. My mood's been a little bit better when I've been having that bacon. But yeah. So that's enough for general talk, you think?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, we're in the middle of spring training. You know, teams are building up their teams, building up their strength, building up the innings, all that. You know, I don't know when the first roster cuts or demotions are. I think they're normally after like the second week, I think. So they send them into minor league camp. But we are full underway. And we only have 24 days till opening day for every MLB team. But then you got the Japan series in, 2 weeks?
Like 2 weeks.
Two weeks, yeah. So we'll get our predictions out shortly. But let's move into our fun fact. Do you know anything about
the... No.
Okay. You don't know anything?
No.
Okay. Are you Jon Snow? You know nothing, Jon Snow. Okay, so fun fact. Coors Field was built, 20-some years ago? 25 years ago? Something like
that. It was
like
in the 90s.
97, something like that. I don't have that info here, but this is relevant.
I think it opened in 95.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful stadium. I've been there. It's absolutely gorgeous. But do you know their mascot, Dinger, the dinosaur?
No.
Do you know how you don't know him? You have never.
I never met him.
Yeah, neither have I. But anyway, you know of the mascot, or do you not know of the mascot?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, he's a Triceratops. Okay. Do you want to know how he was created?
Do I want to know?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. So, during the building of Coors Field, you can thank the name and the design of Dinger, thanks to the constructions people of Coors Field. The builders during the construction came across a 4-inch rib and some bone fragments, and they couldn't figure out which type of dinosaur it identified, but they found dinosaur fossils, apparently. This is alleged, but it's on MLB.com. I'll read it verbatim. When Coors Field was under construction, builders came across a 4-inch rib and some bone fragments. Unfortunately, no one knows just which type of dinosaur they belong to, as dinosaurs are usually identified by their skulls. But they know that they belong to a plant eater. So The team was that was enough to inspire the team to create a Triceratops mascot, and even do you remember the when they introduced it, they hatched an egg on the middle of the field, and the mascot came out. I mean, it's you would think. I mean, it's a Colorado Rockies, so it's a team after a mountains.
Yeah.
But you know, their mountains are old, dinosaurs are old, so I don't know. So there we go. Dinger was made because they found some fossils during the construction, which is honestly kind of cool. You know, can you imagine being in the construction like, yo, that's a bones. Those are big bones, not just a human bones.
Well, what would the other than a dinosaur? What would the mascot for the Colorado Rockies? A giant rock, like a boulder.
Rocky. Rocky. Yeah, I was thinking just like Coors Light. Like that would be like the beer can or something like that. I don't know.
Just like all crunched up, it's half empty.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got rust on it.
Yeah, like. It could be like rock. I don't know. Like ranger. Like it can't be rangers. Like something like with like hiking or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know. Like I think the Rockies are. I think that's a good team. Like, but good team name. But
no, I like it. I'm just you sparked this thought. I'm just like, if you're gonna have a mascot other than this alleged story.
Yeah.
Who would it be? I'm trying to think of things that would be associated with Colorado specifically or Denver that would fit. You can't take like a horse because that's the Broncos. That's already taken.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, you know, that's the NBA.
Yeah. Colorado Avalanche.
The Avalanche. So you can't have like a giant, you know, snow-capped.
Yeah. An avalanche isn't necessarily like an animal or because that's normally what a lot of these team names are. They're normally named after animals, but.
Yeah, but that's like the culture of the state because the Rocky Mountains are right there.
Yeah, exactly. So all four teams are pretty relevant to.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll put it out a poll on Instagram. I was like, all right, what should be the mascot for if you had to change the mascot for the Rockies, what do you think the Rockies' mascot should be? Yeah, so instead of Dinger, the dinosaur, the Triceratops. But yeah, so that's our fun fact. For the day, I was trying to get away from like actual like stats or something like that because I normally do crazy stats that for a fun fact because I'm kind of blown away by some of the stats that are these players have. But I was like, you know what, this one kind of was interesting.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know too, for Coors Field, you know, being in the Mile High City, they have a row of stands. That's color purple, and that's to represent exactly where the Mile High mark is in the city where they're at.
Yep, it's actually
so pretty cool.
It is kind of cool, yeah. Like it's purple. Like the rest of the seats are like a dark green, and then that is purple. So, and it's like it's in the upper deck. I want to say it's I don't know, like 6-7 rows up from the top. I think so. It's pretty high up from the stadium too. Yeah. But yeah, Coors Field. If you haven't been there. It's gorgeous. I went there twice in 2 days, and it was great. I loved it. It was a little bit. I couldn't see much of the like Rockies and everything. They were doing construction out in like left center, so it really wasn't like the great like appealing. But like the stadium itself was gorgeous.
Are they doing construction that would block the view of the Rockies in the future?
No, but there was cranes, and I was like, I can pull up my photo.
Because that would be a shame if they did that. Like, cut off that view.
Yeah,
it's like playing cranes in Pittsburgh. Like,
yeah,
playing a giant wall there.
Yeah, so like I went to Colorado. That was in May of 2023, and then in June of 2023, I also went to Chicago. And when I went to see Wrigley. It was the fires from Canada. So, like, the smoke, I couldn't see past, like, there was, like, a little bit of, like, haze on the field. I'm like, this is weird. So, I was a little bit, not disappointed, but I was like, all right, I'm not getting, like, the full experience. But it was still fun time. But, all right, moving on to our junk baller section. The main topic today is the automated strike zone and the ABS challenge system, as they are calling it. If you haven't known, MLB is kind of hinting towards robot umpires with this. They are implementing this during spring training, where a team can challenge twice, if their first challenge is successful, a pitch call that they believe is wrong. And it has to be immediate, and it has to be it has to be up to the umpire's discretion. Apparently, it added about like 17 seconds or something like that to minor league games when they were testing out in the minor leagues, which is great if you're getting the calls right. But they've been implementing it. If you've been watching spring training, players have been doing it in spring training. And we saw one yesterday where a call got reversed. Christopher Sanchez, he thought he had Gary Sanchez struck out. And instead, Gary Sanchez called, he tapped the top of his head. That's what you're supposed to do. And it was immediate. Went to what they're calling the Hawkeye camera or view or whatever it is.
They've had that for a while. Yeah. But this is the first time they're using it to determine balls and strikes or challenges.
Yeah. And it was the wrong call. So they overturned it, and Gary Sanchez was awarded first base because it was ball four. And then the next batter, I believe, got a single, and I think two runs scored. Yeah. So there you go. It's already changing the game. But it is not going to be implemented in the regular season. It is literally just the spring training. They're testing it out. But I've heard that it was successful in the minors. What are your thoughts? If that's pretty much like the gist of everything so far, you know, you have two to start the game. If you win one, like, I don't understand that. I think it's more like you have one challenge. If you get it right, you get another one. Instead, they're saying you have two challenges, but if you lose it, you lose the first one, you don't get another one. But I'm like, that means you really only have one. And then, I don't know, I was just like, the phrasing of it was a little bit weird. But yeah. Obviously, this is hinting towards robot umpires in the future, which has been a pretty, not a huge topic, but it's been a topic of conversation over the last couple years, I think because of social media. There's a lot of opinions going around about making sure that the calls get right because we have the strike zone on the TV. So, like, when we see a ball that is completely outside and the umpire calls it a strike, we're like, what the heck? That wasn't a strike. But the strike zone is different for every batter, and, what exactly system is it? Are they going to use? Because Jose Altuve's strike zone is different than Aaron Judge's strike zone. I think we've mentioned this before. And like, are they going to use like lasers to determine or like whatever they're going to determine for the automated strike zone? Obviously, this, like, I don't even know if this is like the ABS system is adjusted for, you know, each batter. Like, I don't know how that system works, but obviously it's, so far, it's been a topic of spring training. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be as big of a talk in spring training if it wasn't for the big traditional aspect of baseball. This is coming from a guy who is pretty traditional when it comes to like baseball in general, you know, like having human umpires, having organs play during your baseball game, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm curious to know about and why I've been mulling through is how this is going to affect the quote unquote traditions of the game itself.
Yeah.
And that was something that when I read about this, baseball was considering as well, because when they were polling fans in the minor leagues, they said that they still desired a human element to it. They don't want just, you know, fully robotic umpires, you know. They still wanted, you know, a degree of, you know, humanity to it. I think that's just a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're getting now into the technology of, like, AI and everything going digital. It's very easy for the humanity of it to get lost. With that said, I also like accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, if you look at baseball history and seeing how one call changes everything about a game. I mean, look at Galarraga and his perfect game.
Yep.
If they had the challenge system that year, he would have had a
perfect
technically a perfect game. Yeah. I still count it.
The thing is, he's kind of remembered more as that guy because he lost the perfect game because of that. Because Jim Joyce, like, he's almost more popular than, who was it, Philip Humber for Chicago, I think, or something like that. he had a perfect game, but I can't remember.
Yeah, Philip Humber threw a perfect game, but no one knows him outside of that.
Yeah, but like I remember Galarraga more than I do the Philip Humber one.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Because it was the way it happened.
We're getting sidetracked.
Well, yeah. No, it's a good point, though.
Yeah, it is.
So how much error should we allow, if we should allow any? That's why, I mean, at least on the outset, I like the system. I don't think it's too pushy right now because it's just two of them a game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, every strike three call is going to be challenged every inning.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is baseball, Major League Baseball, and Rob Manfred in general seem to take things to the next level.
Yeah.
Too. So they're not just going to keep it at this either.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
No.
You know, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Obviously, last year, was it last year? Was the pitch clock, or was it the year before?
The year before, wow. 2023.
Gosh. So, obviously, the pitch clock was kind of like the first major adjustment in baseball in a long time where it changed the game. I kind of flip-flopped a little bit on the pitch clock because I miss baseball being just, you don't know what to expect, how long it's going to take, the pitcher being able to control it. Now the clock, there's a clock on baseball, and I don't like that. You know, obviously for the fan's perspective, like the fan perspective where like I want to grow the game, I like it. But as a pure baseball fan myself, I don't like it. Like I don't like the pitch clock at all.
Is that the tradition aspect coming through?
Probably a little bit, but I also like how that makes baseball different than every other sport that we watch. No clock. But now because there's a clock, it is just like every other sport. And I don't like that. I like having the pitcher be able to control and dominate the game. He's on the mound. He has the ball. He can do whatever he wants. Now the clock is determining the game. And I don't like that. So to get back to the strike zone future here, I'm okay with this, with the challenging and it getting it right. Because I saw it in the minor, I remember seeing it in the minor leagues last year, and mm-hmm. I was like, all right, that's good. Yeah. You know, you're getting the calls right, especially if it's like a big game-changing call. Like, yes. That's, I think that's good. I do fully get that poll they had where fans just want the human aspect, and I completely agree. But you said something about you care about accuracy too,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I'm at this kind of
pulling
aspect, or I'm being tugged one way and pulled the other way.
Yeah.
Where yes, I do want a human element, but dang it, I want the calls right.
Yes.
Every time I see a call the umpire makes, we don't have to deal with Angel Hernandez anymore, but we still have to deal with CB and Laz Diaz and. Oh, also like the we talked about it, the umpire that was really good, but he was betting on games. Like these umpires, they need to be, they're obviously the best of the best in terms of like that. We would get calls wrong too. Like that's, but we're fans. But seeing terrible calls on the TV screen being made lights me up to no end. That's where I'm like, you know, I wouldn't get as angry at the game if I saw that because I'm like, all right, yeah, that was a strike, but I didn't call it. Yeah. But I do think, I'm like, where's the balance where, like, it doesn't just become like obviously the umpire union is very, very good. We're well aware of that. So that is something that MLB has to fight. And I don't think they would ever actually, like, get rid of the umpires. I think they'll probably always have that umpire there to have that human element, but I think they might have like a buzzer, like they have for the pitch clock. Like the buzzer goes off on the umpire's chest or something like that, where like, all right, yeah, the clock expired, so they gotta penalize them. I think that'll be like a thing in their head or their ear telling them, yeah, that was a strike, that was a ball, and they have to respond to it. I don't know, like, you know how like sometimes when like at first base, like it's a bang bang play. I don't know if they're going to be able to decide like what, like the technology is going to be too far advanced in the future before we'll be dead before I think they get that. Where, all right, did the ball beat him or did the guy get there first?
Maybe sooner rather than later.
So that means that they would have to have sensors in the gloves and everything. But here's the thing. Are the sensors going to be accurate too?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, say if the sensor picks up the ball before, like, because then, like, you can manipulate the sensors because then it gets technology-based.
Well, look how much technology has increased in sports in general over the last decade. I mean, we wouldn't have even thought about an electronic strike zone a decade ago.
Yeah.
But now it's here.
I just thought about this. Like, say if there's a bang-bang play. Like, say if this is happening where the strike zone, is implemented, the automated strike zone is implemented, but, like, they kind of, like, skew it a little bit. So, like, say if, like, a team, they really want a team to win. Like, MLB could manipulate it a little bit.
But the same thing could go for umpires right now. I don't think that's relevant to the discussion because you could do that either way, whether you have no technology in it or technology in it.
I agree. But MLB, I'm talking about, like, with that, the umpire obviously got fired. But if MLB is controlling the... Do you understand what I'm saying here? So say if it's the Yankees and Phillies are in the World Series, mm-hmm. but the MLB really wants the Yankees to win, okay? And there's a really close call.
Mm-hmm.
And say if Bryce Harper challenges it. What if they manipulate the system and just be like, yeah, no, that it's called a strike, but we're going to show a different graphic?
Why are you assuming MLB will do that?
Because it's a business, and they want money. That's what they want.
Doesn't it also damage their reputation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it would. But I literally just thought about this right off the top of my head. I didn't plan this for notes, but I'm just saying there is that. This is just a once in a thing, once in a shot. Like, just a thought that I had. I think that, with all the technology that it can be, like, is it going to be worthwhile? Or are we going to see where MLB could use it to their advantage and be like, yeah, that was actually a strike, but we're going to call it a ball and show up a different graphic to everyone. So that way it's different. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, it wouldn't be any different than MLB coming to the umpiring crew in Game 7 of the World Series being like, hey, we want this team to win.
Oh, yeah, no, I completely agree. But I'm just saying that's something where we think it's going to be completely accurate, but there's still going to be, could be bias. There's always going to be a problem with it. This is never going to be foolproof. Nothing, whatever, is going to be foolproof. And maybe that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Well, and that's why they're in the lane at this because bad calls and bad umpiring ruins the integrity of the game and it tarnishes games.
Yeah.
Give the NFL credit this. They're quick to change things when they see, like, a controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like MLB is pretty slow with that. Like, they take years and years and years to kind of, like, backtrack on things that happened in the past. Like, in the NFL playoffs this year where they had all those spotty calls on first downs, especially with the Bills and Chiefs game, now they're, like, going to be implementing, I think, like, electronic sensors for first downs, like, right after the season ended.
Yeah.
Or, like, the Saints and Rams with that pass interference call. They changed that after the season.
Yeah.
With baseball, it takes a while.
Yeah.
Except in the case of Galarraga.
Yeah.
Where I feel like that was the tipping point where it's like, okay, we need to implement challenges. But usually baseball is slow to do this.
The first down chains, I think the NFL has actually been, that's the only thing the NFL has been slow on is the first down chains. Because they've been complaining, ever since like that index card incident, like they've been, the Twitter has been up in arms like, wow, it's the biggest sports franchise business in the entire world.
But I guess my point is that baseball, I think, needs to like keep up more with what's going on.
And I think, I 100% agree with you there. There has been a lot more talk about changing the game just because, I'm trying to think of the NBA, but the NBA is struggling right now because the NBA did a lot of changes over the last 10, 15 years of like just changing the game, making it the 3-point the game has changed so much, but they're starting to see the effects of it negatively.
But those aren't necessarily rule changes. Those are playmaking changes. Those are strategy changes.
But they've also implemented rules too, and also just the NBA structure of how they handle things business-wise has changed, and they're starting to see. I'm talking about how MLB is like trying to streamline things a little bit more, mm-hmm. where NBA did that for a while, and they were like, they were on the up and up for, like, people were like, ah, NBA is going to be pretty good. But they've, things have kind of hit a wall recently. I think COVID kind of changed that a little bit. But I'm just saying that MLB kind of was trying to streamline things a little bit quicker. And I think they saw NBA was kind of pulling away from them, like, because it was the NFL and then everyone else.
Well, that's what I'm saying, keeping up with it and not, like, running way past the finish line.
Oh, yeah.
Like the NBA seemed to do.
Yeah. The NBA, a lot of their ideas just... The play-in tournament? Like, what? No one cares about that.
Mid-season tournament, the tournament in the playoffs, like...
Yeah, I mean, both of us don't care about our teams in basketball anymore. Like, no. We just really don't. Even if our teams were good, I don't even think that I'd be caring that much. Yeah. Like, just don't. So, if I were to get you on the record right now, mm-hmm. and just be like, if you had to choose yes or no, would you want an automated strike zone? Completely full, like not even just the ABS system right now, like the two challenge thing. Because that's obviously coming next year, probably. That's probably what's going to happen. They're doing the testing it out, and then next year they'll probably implement it. But I'm talking about straight up robot umpires for the game.
Across the board?
Across the board. For home plate, not first base, second base, third base. If you were to say yes, I want it, or no, I don't want it.
For balls and strikes, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple factors involved, of course. I mean, one being, you know, the height of the batter and their batting stance. But also, like, we complained quite a bit on this podcast about framing pitches.
Oh, my God.
And that's become, like, a big thing in baseball now where, like, your favorite Mets catcher is just kind of like
Alvarez.
Reaching from one end of the strike zone to the other to get it in.
Looks like a little leaguer.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it in the last three podcasts how furious I am. It's absolutely ridiculous. Next time you watch the Mets, watch Alvarez behind home plate. I think that's his name. I hate him so much I don't even know him. He literally the ball will be so low and he'll bring it up above where, like, the middle of the plate is. It's looks like a Little League World Series catcher. But, yeah, I wanted to get you on the record. I wanted to see what your stance was if you were, you know, put in a corner and, like, yeah, what do you want?
And it gets rid of the variability of umpires because umpires are graded based on if they're hitter-friendly or pitcher-friendly. Yeah. They shouldn't be either-friendly.
Yeah.
They should be neutral.
Yep.
I think the electronic strike zone will eliminate that.
Yeah. And like you said, there's not everything's going to be, like, there's some kinks to...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't know. If I were to give an answer, I probably would say yes, too. But I'm more like 51-49 right now. Just because I can see... Like, I could see it really being beneficial because I want the calls right. Like, I'm being swayed more towards it. But at the same time, like, I think maybe because the pitch clock, I was worried about the pitch clock changing the game drastically that it wouldn't be recognizable. And it was still recognizable. It was just a lot different. But it wasn't a lot different in the sense that, like, it's still a game that I love. But it's a little bit different, and I don't love it as much. I'll say that. And I'm worried that, like, if I saw robot umpires and an automatic strike zone, if it's going to, like, the game changes so much where I don't love it anymore. Does that make sense?
Is it the loss of the human element like we were talking about before?
I'm not 100% sure. Because, and I'm referencing the pitch clock just because that was a big change, and that's something that I can kind of reference here. But... If the human element was taken away, are we enjoying the game the same way as we should, as it was intended? You know, obviously the game changes, players change, all that. And this is just a point. This isn't like a end all be all, like, oh, if they get robot umpires, the game's never going to be the same. It's going to be different. You have to change with the times. I think one of the main reasons is gambling, all the freaking sports betting, like they need it to be able to, you know, make sure they get the calls right because people are going to complain with everything, with every call, every single call. I don't know. It's just something that I'm still not Like, yeah, if I was put in a corner and like, yeah, do you want robot umpires? Because, I want accuracy, I think, more than anything. But do I want it, like, tomorrow? No, I don't. I really don't want it tomorrow. Like, I need some time. I need to get over some things. You know, I got problems. I don't know. That was just off the top of my head there. But I've liked the challenge system so far in the spring training from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I like how it has to be immediate. It can't just be, like, a strike and when it was a ball and then like take a couple seconds, like 5 seconds, and like, yeah, no, I'm gonna challenge it. No, it has to be immediate. I haven't seen a time where like I haven't seen it where the guy takes maybe like a second or two and the umpire just like the umpire just like, yeah, no, too late. Like, how is it umpire? It's the umpire's discretion, right?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like the manager can just do it from the dugout. It's gotta be the batter or the pitcher or the catcher.
Yeah.
It's either of those three. Which I like, too. So it's not like just some guy in center field is like, oh, I see all the way from here. It was clearly a ball. Yeah.
What's interesting is that, you know, I went through at the beginning, like, a little bit of the facts. Teams do not get one in extra innings. Like, an extra one in extra innings.
No, they don't.
So if you use your challenge, like, in the first, say if they use in the first inning, and a game goes to 17 innings or something like that, which we don't see anymore, you don't have it. Which I kind of don't like that. I kind of want the extra innings to have them a challenge. Like, I would say that each team gets one. What?
No, I was just going to agree with what you said.
Yeah, each team
one.
Each team gets one. If you get it
not
wrong,
two.
Yeah, you one. Don't get. Yeah, kind of like how the NFL, like when you get into overtime, like each team gets two timeouts and everything's reviewed. They don't have to challenge it. That's kind of what I feel like. Extra innings, like you're in the extra innings, you got to. Everything's got to be fine-tuned, and then team doesn't have a challenge. I think obviously right now that's the start of it, but I think it should be. I think they should have a challenge.
I mean that's why they're testing it right now, just to kind of work out the kinks, see what works, what doesn't. And I think just on a rough draft that they have right now, it's a decent system to work with.
Yeah,
and improve on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a plus. I think it's a step in the right direction without going too far, where the pitch clock felt like it was like a huge jump forward. We're like, whoa, this is going to completely change the game. Yeah. But yeah, this is, let's get your opinion on this. Obviously, we have our own opinion because we're baseball purists. We like a little bit more of the game being like the way it is. But also, we are seeing, you know, we want accuracy, and that's important. So, I already know Taylor's perspective. He wants robot umpires. He could give a crap about the human element. He wants calls right no matter what. But if you're listening and you want to offer your opinion, let us know. We'll give you a shout out on the podcast. I mean, just reach out to us. Let us know your opinion. We'd love to hear it out. Anything else you got on that?
No, I think it gave me a lot to think about. I think even more than the pitch clock, honestly.
Really?
Well, in terms of the dynamic between the human element and, like, accuracy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the pitch clock, that was just a hard, fast rule. It's not like you're challenging something. It's not determining outs. It's not determining balls and strikes.
Yeah.
This,
well, the punishment is. So, like, you know, if you don't get... Because if the batter's not in the clock... So there is a little bit of that. But it's not...
Yeah,
the,
it's not drastic,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Like, with this, I feel like this is the first real challenge to that quote-unquote, you know, umpire dominance in Major League Baseball. And I'm curious to see how the unions are going to react to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on all that. And obviously it's going to go away at the end of spring training. We'll not see it in the regular season. But if I were to bet, I would say it's going to be in the major leagues
next year.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of what they do. They test it out in the spring training, you know, test out the MLB players, and they'll get their opinions on it and everything. And so we'll go from there.
Yeah. Minor leagues, spring training, baseball. It always starts in the minors. Yeah. Always.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's move on to, so that was our junk baller section. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to and finish out with a hot take from Kev.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been a while since I've given a hot take.
Yeah, we've been a little hit or miss with podcasts, with our scheduling.
Yeah.
And then we've also kind of had some podcasts where we just wanted to focus on one specific topic.
Yes.
Instead of actually going back to our structure of general talk, fun fact, junk ball section, and then a hot take. Yeah. You know?
Well, I hate to jump ahead to predictions for the season, especially how teams are going to do, but it just came to mind when I thought of a hot take. I think the Reds will win the NL Central this year.
Okay. Okay. Is it Terry Francona effect?
A couple things. I wouldn't say it's super spicy, but
it's like a jalapeno. You know, it's spicy. Like, yeah. It's not like...
It's not an habanero.
Yeah, no, it's not a habanero, Carolina Reaper, yes. Ghost chili. Yeah, no. It's a jalapeno. It's spicy. Yeah. It's spicy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd be lying if I said Terry Francona didn't play a part in that.
Okay, yeah.
Because wherever he's been, whether it's with the Red Sox or with Cleveland, he's had success.
Except with the Phillies.
Now with the Phillies.
Yeah.
Well, what years was he there?
Early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. That was the black hole of Phillies baseball. Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was late 90s, too, or something like that.
I thought he might have been a coach on that staff, wasn't he?
Okay. I got to look this up.
Well, while you're looking that up, I mean, Francona has a knack for turning teams around. At least, not necessarily in the Phillies sense, but in the Red Sox and Indian sense.
97 to 2000.
Was as a manager.
As a manager.
Was he a coach on that staff at all?
He was just a manager. That was his first managing position. And then he didn't manage the Red Sox till, so it was the Phillies from 97 to 2000. Then he didn't manage the Red Sox till 2004.
Well, yeah, that was when the whole Grady Little pulling Pedro out of the game in the ALCS against the Yankees. That's pretty much why Francona got hired.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's there. He's a game changer. You have, you know, of course, Eli De La Cruz, who, I didn't know this, he's the first shortstop ever to have at least 20 home runs and steal 60 bases in a season.
Dang. Yeah.
I mean, I know shortstops usually aren't giant home run hitters, but I figured someone, like, maybe, like, I don't know, Cal Ripken.
60 stolen bases for Cal?
No, that's, yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's, like, the closest
thing. That's a hot take.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cal Ripken's going to get 60 stolen bases this year.
Shut up. Well, I could have said, what, like A-Rod or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true.
A-Rod wasn't a base stealer.
No.
They have more youth there, like also with Matt McClain. He's coming back from injury. He was hurt all of last year, but he was a first-round pick. And in the 2023, he hit like almost 20 home runs in the 89 games that he played there.
Yeah.
No more Frankie Montas, who was a big liability for the Reds last year. So they kind of shaken things up a bit, brought in some more starting pitching, they brought up, like, I think a prospect who they're going to try out. And then, you know, yeah, at the front of that rotation, Hunter Green, who was a all-star and debatably a Cy Young candidate last year.
Yeah.
So, and you also have to take this into effect. The Brewers got worse,
yeah.
I think,
yeah,
over the offseason. They don't have Willy Adames anymore, and they don't have Devin Williams.
Yeah. They always seem to find a way, annoyingly, that like, oh yeah, they kind of just, they'll be okay. Like they'll be that, they're kind of like the Guardians of the NL. Like they're just like, oh yeah, we're going to find a way. Like they have a system that works, but they'll be probably, like they're probably favored to win the division, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Because they won last year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you think that the Reds are going to be ahead of the Brewers.
Yes.
And then ahead of the Cubs, who made a lot of moves.
Yeah.
And then ahead of the Pirates, who have some young talent.
They don't count.
They don't count. And the Cardinals, which suck. The Cardinals suck. They're going to be the worst team in the Central. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do you have a prediction? Do you have a, like a...
I don't think they're going to win a super ton of games.
Was going to be like an 87, 86?
Like 88.
Okay. All right. So that's
high 80s.
That division, is it going to be a tough division or is it going to be?
I think it's going to be tough in that all, like, at least the top three teams are going to be like competitive against each other. Though I don't think they're going to be an elite division this upcoming season, if that's what you're asking about. Yeah.
I think this is their year to be like, you know, we're going to be 500-ish.
Yeah,
in my opinion, or like close to 500, and then the next year they're gonna, you know, go out and, you know, win the division or something like that. They'll probably have to, you know, they're waiting on their young talent to really prosper, but I think next year they'll probably during you know, free agency, they'll probably. What are you laughing at?
I'm just still thinking of the Cal Ripken thing.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah. You're like, yeah, well, Cal Ripken probably had six. No. Yeah,
no. I should know better.
It's okay. It's okay. All right, so we got a spicy hot take. You know, not crazy Carolina Reaper spicy, but jalapeno spicy. We should come up with a tier of our spice takes. Of like, should it be, you know, should it be like pepper level spice? Should it be like, you know, different levels of like hotness or something like that? What do you think?
Well, do we? I think I asked you this before. Do we have that list still at all?
I don't. Wait, it's on Instagram, but I don't have every single hot take on there. I will admit I fumbled that. Yeah. I didn't put every single one on. I mean, obviously, I could go towards the end of every podcast and put them all on. But that's time consuming. I don't got time for that.
Well, I could think of a couple off the top of my head. Ohtani to the Mariners. That didn't work.
That was yours?
Yeah. There was...
Oh, my. Oh, man. That's it.
There was the retractable roof thing.
Yeah.
You had the Dodgers not making the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, I think that was the first year. Yeah.
And that's when they won 110 games. Isn't it?
Was it last year that I said that?
It was the year before.
It was the year before. One of the years I said the Dodgers. Yeah. This is not going to be the Dodgers year. They won 100 games both seasons, so I was obviously wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're hot takes.
I'm allowed to be wrong.
That's why they're hot takes. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wrong most of the time. I'm right most of the time. Yeah. I make good choices. I'm smart. Sometimes. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you for listening. You know, let us know your opinions on the ABS system and if you think that robot umpires are a thing of the future or it's just going to be a rumor for a while and whether or not you like it. You know, let us know if you like it. All right. Let's move on and end it here. So thank you for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Later.